Translation. Srinath Pandit, the 49th branch, was the beloved recipient of all the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everyone in the three worlds was astonished to see how he worshipped Lord Krishna. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. About 1.5 miles away from Kumarhat, or Kumarhati, which is a few miles from Calcutta, is a village known as Kanchadapad, which was the home of Shivananda Sen. There he constructed a temple of Sri Gaur Gopal. Another temple was established there with Sri Radha Krishna Murtis by Srinath Pandit. The deity of that temple is named Sri Krishna Rai. The temple of Krishna Rai, which was constructed in the year 1708 Shakabda by a prominent zamindar named Nimai Malik of Puthiriya Ghat in Calcutta, is very large. There is a big courtyard in front of the temple, and there are residential quarters for visitors and good arrangement for cooking prasad. The entire courtyard is surrounded by very high boundary walls, and the temple is almost as big as the Mahesh temple. Anyone been to the temple? Inscribed on a tablet are the names of Srinath Pandit and his father and grandfather and the date of construction of the temple. Srinath Pandit, one of the disciples of Advaita Prabhu, was the spiritual master of the third son of Shivananda Sen, who was known as Paramananda Kavi Karnapur. It is supposed to be during the time of Kavi Karnapur that the Krishnarai deity was installed. According to hearsay, interesting word there, according to hearsay, Veerabhadra Prabhu, the son of Nityananda Prabhu, brought a big stone from Murshidabad, from which three deities were carved, namely the Radha Vallabh Vigraha of Vallabhapura, the Shama Sunda Vigraha of Kadaha, and the Sri Krishna Rai Vigraha of Kanchidapad. The home of Shivananda Sen was situated on the bank of the Ganges near an almost ruined temple. It is said that the same Nimai Malik of Calcutta saw this broken down temple of Krishnarai while he was going to Banaras, and thereafter constructed the present temple. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation once again. Srinath Pandit, the 49th branch, was the beloved recipient of all the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everyone in the three worlds was astonished to see how he worshipped Lord Krishna. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvasesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Vancha kalpatarubhyascha krupa sindhubhaivacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So asking for all the blessings of all the Vaishnavas to speak some words, especially the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. A very elaborate purport. When we read these purports, how obviously the commentary Prabhupada is taking from Bhakti Siddhanta's, and such detail of all of these temples, from who built it, how they built it, and even words like hearsay, because it's not scriptural, but it's known locally that this is perhaps how the deities were carved in three places. So all of these are wonderful items, and here we are looking at all the different associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And today we are looking at the devotee known as Srinath Pandita. So I thought we'd just speak about Srinath Pandita, whatever little is known of him. Also Shivananda Sen is mentioned. Kavi Karnapur is mentioned in this purport as well. So all these wonderful personalities are being mentioned. So we can look at all of them very briefly. Right now in Mayapur, if you are there, or if you're looking on the internet, as you know, it is flooded. The floods came early. The highest it got to a few days ago, now the water's receding slowly, the highest it got to was it got to the feet of Lord Nrisingadev. So the Ganga wanted to touch the feet of Lord Nrisingadev, and now slowly it's receding. But it's come very early because of so much rain. And it's only the beginning of the monsoon, which means the rains will carry on, which means the water remains stagnant in different places. It stays there for a long time, which is not good for disease. It means if you're going later on, you have to be more careful, because they've never had such an early flood. So they don't know how long the water stays and what happens further, because the monsoon lasts a lot longer. So Purushottam Maharaj tells this story of Prabhupada when Prabhupada speaks about the fact that the elevation of this book, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we may all have read through the Chaitanya Charitamrita. How many have read through the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita? Many hands here. So that's the last book that we read from Prabhupada, obviously. But equally, Prabhupada tells the story that if there is a flood and you cannot take all your possessions with you because the flood is rising, as they found out in Mayapur, all the bottom floors, no one can live. You know, if you've lived in many of the bottom floors, many of the Grihastha community as well, it's all flooded there. So they've all moved into the higher buildings on the fourth and fifth floors. And they can only cook on the roof. So they cook on the roof and everyone has to come on the roof for. So very good communal living, because that's the only place prasadam is. So you have to go. So Prabhupada was speaking that when there is a flood, you cannot take all your possessions with you. He said, but you can take three items with you, the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Chaitanya Charitamrita. These are the three things you should take with you. So I don't know whether they did in Mayapur or what, but these are the three things he says. And he says, as the flood gets higher and higher and you're sitting on the roof and you cannot carry all of these things, he said, you can let the Gita drop. He said, then as the flood gets higher and your hands are more and more tired, you can let the Bhagavatam drop. He said, but you can never drop the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he said. Because he says, everything is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Purushottam Maharaj was just speaking on that, and Prabhupada speaks of that. And I think there are many, many conversations which are not recorded because they're all personally given, and that's why we have so many biographies or memories of Prabhupada written, because these were all personally said and not everything is ever recorded as such. So this is one such story which is always spoken. I've heard it many times, of the greatness of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that it's the one book, even if it's flooding, you should keep with you. So when we are drowning in the material ocean, which we always are, every now and then, with so much anxiety, we should never let go of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Despite all our difficulties, despite the material waves that are drowning us in a variety of ways, we should open the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada, he commented that the people will learn Bengali. How many people speak Bengali? Some Bengali speakers here? I can see a few smiling faces there. So Prabhupada says that, and Prabhupada used to speak quite a lot of Bengali here when in the 70s, when Subhag Das Brahmachari was with him. He was his secretary in Berry Place. Berry Place, I think. Yes, Kishore, Berry Place, I think, is the one. Bengali. Subhag Swami, when I met him, he said he was serving Prabhupada, but in that variety of capacities, and he said that Prabhupada would always speak to him in Bengali, because he was Bengali, so he would speak, but specifically, and Prabhupada speaks about, and Subhag Swami says, I think Prabhupada speaks of this as well, that in the future people will learn Bengali just to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Subhag Swami was saying the same thing. He said, when you read the Bengali, there is a different flavor. Like any language, I'm sure. When you translate it, something gets a little less in one way or the other. But the potency is the same, but still something is there. So he said, and Prabhupada said that, in the future, just to get the real flavor of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, people will just learn Bengali, to read the Bengali in it, which is quite tremendous on that side of it. I remember many years back in the UN, they voted that, you know, they vote every year or every 4 years or 5 years, which is the best language, which is the happiest country, like this, you know, different things like this. So I think the year they voted that the happiest country in the world was Bangladesh. They speak Bengali there, you know. They all speak. They said it's the happiest country in the world, and I'm sure I was speaking to Chaitanya here, and he said exactly when he went to Bangladesh, people were very happy, regardless of what little they had, or even if they had a lot, they were very happy people. Then they didn't meet so many unhappy people, and the UN, they voted that the Bengali was the sweetest language in the world. That time. So the Chaitanya Charitamrita is written in Bengali. So that's the greatness of the Chaitanya Charitamrita that we can see. Srinath Pandit, who is the personality that's being spoken of in this verse today. He was a Brahmin by caste, And as mentioned in the purport there, the village that he came from is from Kumarahatta. It's also said that he wrote a commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he titled it the Chaitanya Mat Chandrika. This is by Srinath Pandit. He writes this commentary on the Bhagavat. And just in the purport, equally it's mentioned that Shivananda Sen had three sons. Anyone remember the names? One will remember always, but remember the names of those? Chaitanya Das, yes, because that's in the great pastime with Mahaprabhu in later on. Ramdas, and the third one we always remember is Kavi Karnapur. Kavi Karnapur's, he was known as Paramananda, but later on he was given the name Kavi Karnapur. And spiritual master of Kavi Karnapur was this Srinath Pandit. That's where he appears. And Srinath Pandit was also the priest of Shivananda Sen. So Shivananda Sen was a very wealthy man. Very, very wealthy man. So he had his deities, and his deities were worshipped by Srinath Pandit. So he had a profession, you know, in that sense, someone who would be a priest for him. And as mentioned in the purport, the Srinath Pandit, spiritual master, was... anyone remember from the purport? Advaitacharya, yes. Advaitacharya was the spiritual master of Srinath Pandit. So that's some things about Srinath Pandit I found here in there. Not much more than that is there about him. In Kavi Karnapur, of course, we know that he wrote many, many important books in the Vaishnava literatures. We know some of them. Ananda Vrindavan Champa, of course, is one of them that's mentioned there. The Gaur Ganadesh Deepika is the most famous of all the books that he put together. And of course the famous drama, the Chaitanya Chandradoya Natika, that's written by Kavi Karnapur as well. I found something else that he wrote, which is called Alankar Kushtuba. Not heard of it, but that's something else that he wrote as well. So he was quite, and it's said that he wrote over 10 years. Kavi Karnapur wrote for 10 years, all these different books that exist within our Gaudiya Vaishnava line. The Niti Shastras have an interesting statement. They speak about something interesting. They compare this material world and they say this material world, samsare katu vrikshaya devaphale madhurpame. They said this material world is compared to a tree of bitterness. It's a tree of bitterness, isn't it? Life is often very bitter for us. With bits of, as Prabhupada often says, with a little bit of enjoyment and we think it's great. And the example is given of how in the medieval times they used to punish the witches, so-called witches at least, that they would have the dunking in the pond. And when they would dunk, they would have them on this plank and they would dunk them in the pond. So when they were drowning and they could see the bubbles coming up, and when they wouldn't see any bubbles coming up, then they would pull them up. So then you could get a breath of air, relief, and then they would put you down again. So this is the comparison that this world is, as it says here, katu vrikshaya, a tree of bitterness, actually. But every now and then, you know, when you come up, when the witches would come up for some air, they would think this is great happiness. So Prabhupada gives one definition of happiness. He says, it's simply relief from our miseries. But we call it happiness. We call it happiness. It's actually just relief from the distresses of life. Isn't it? People have a hard day at work, very distressed, and they sit in front of the television and they think, wow, this is happiness. It's just forgetting about the distress of the day. And people think this is happiness. Or they sit in a bar or a restaurant or they get drunk or whatever it is. And people think this is happiness. It's actually just relief. Relief from the anxiety of the day. So that's one definition which is given in the Niti Shastra. That this world is like a tree of bitterness. But it says, but there are two fruits on this tree which are very sweet. So the analogy, we all following it? The world is like a tree of bitterness. But there are only two fruits on the tree which are sweet. And the first fruit which is sweet, it mentioned, it says, Subhashitam Chashushvadu. The first fruit which is sweet on this world of bitterness, in this tree of bitterness is mentioned, is truthful speech. Which is sweet, kind, appreciative, uplifting and non-agitating. Interesting. That's the first sweet fruit within this tree. So the Gita says the same thing. That austerity speech, it says, is satyam, priyam, hitam. Austerity of speech. When, if we're going to speak, it says the first thing our speech should be is satyam, truthful. Secondly, it says if we're going to speak, it should be truthful, but priyam. It should be pleasingly done. And finally, hitam. It can be true, it can be pleasing, but is it beneficial? Is it beneficial? So it's the Gita, standard principles of speaking. We often forget that, every now and then. When we speak, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nandaki. We often may forget this very, very simple principle of Satyam, Priyam and Hitam. So next time we speak, three things to remember. That's the first fruit on the tree of bitterness. The Niti Shastra says the second fruit, which is sweet, on that tree, is Sajantir Sajanar Jina. What does that mean? The next thing which is sweet in this world is the association of wonderful devotees. The association of wonderful devotees. And this verse is about that. All these amazing devotees, Sivananda Sen, Srinath Pandit, Kavi Karnapur, these are the wonderful, sweet association, that fruit. And you know, when you have the association of wonderful devotees, in that wonderful association, every bitter experience can be handled. Every bitter experience of this material world can be handled when you're in the association of wonderful devotees. Otherwise, the bitter experiences of this world are very difficult to handle, actually. Very, very difficult to handle. So, these are two interesting fruits we can always remember. What was the first one? Speech, our speech. Next time we're speaking, think of our speech. Already the world is a bitter place. Why make it any worse? Have good speech. I was watching Ananda Chaitanya when we were in Harinam once, and he was distributing books. And somebody was saying, "I don't want this book, we don't care," you know, whatever he was having. He was really having a whole loud shouting match with him. But Ananda Chaitanya was very calm. Very calm. He was very peaceful and apologetic. And the other gentleman was shocked because he thought he's going to have a right old match with me right now and I'm going to give it to him. But he just totally became diffused. Watford Harinam. So, and the second fruit?
Association.
Wonderful devotees. Wonderful devotees. So, here we have all the wonderful devotees all together. How and through sharing our realizations, through hearing the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the bitter experiences of this material world, they can be handled. They can be handled. Krishna in the Gita, he mentions how we can handle this material world, although it's so bitter. And at the end of the Gita, he's reminding us, "Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mukshyasmi ma suchaha." That if you abandon everything, you surrender unto me, I will protect you from all the bitterness of this material world. But it depends if we are mamekam sharanam vraja. Are we really surrendering? So often devotees may think, well, will Krishna really protect me from this material world, as he promises? Then I will take care of all the sinful reactions that you have. I will give you protection, as he promised Arjuna. Kaunteya pratijanihi nami bhaktiya pranasyati. That Arjuna declare it boldly that my devotee will never vanquish. But that doesn't mean my devotee will not be tested. He'll never be vanquished, but he will always be tested. So we often mix the two up. We're tested heavily and we think, why is Krishna doing this? So Krishna is saying, you will never be vanquished, but you will always be tested. You will always be tested. From a moment to moment basis, you have a choice. You have a test. But you'll never be vanquished so long as we're surrendering. You know, in India there was a dacoit, very famous dacoit. And woman dacoit, unusual. And her name was Fulana Devi. Ever remember Fulana Devi? Fulana Devi, everyone remembers Fulana Devi. And she had killed hundreds of people. Hundreds of people. Dacoit. Ransoms, kidnap, all these sort of things. Big gangster. She had killed, and the government could never catch her. Never ever they could catch this lady, Fulana Devi. So the government finally said, more people are getting killed, why don't we have a truce with her? So they had a truce with this Fulana Devi, and they said, look, if you surrender, we will not arrest you. Unusual. If you surrender and you stop all the work that you're doing now, of the dacoit work that you're doing, the stealing, the killing, stop it all, we won't even arrest you. So they drew up an agreement. True story. So the police had this agreement, she agreed. And when she agreed, she was living with everyone else. And all the relatives of all the people that she had absconded with, killed, whatever it is, they all wanted to kill this Fulana Devi. And they told the police, you just leave here now, we'll do our business now. She did her business with our family, now we're ready for our business. But the police never allowed it. Never allowed it. They said, no, we cannot, because we have promised and we have a written contract to protect her. So she couldn't be touched. She couldn't be touched. So why am I saying this? Because Krishna is saying the same thing. Krishna is saying the same thing, that if you surrender unto me, I will protect you. Just like this Fulana Devi. This Fulana Devi went on from that protection to become, I think, a member of parliament in the Lok Sabha of India. Imagine. I don't know what her final name was. Anyone remember? What was her name? She became an MP, I know that. She was still Fulana Devi, right? She became an MP. So imagine that. That you can be there, but forget. So this story is not about the fact that justice or whatever. It's just to give you an analogy of what Krishna is saying in the Gita. Aham tum sarva papibhyo muksha ishmi masuchaha. That Krishna will forgive all the things we've ever done. And He will give us protection. He'll give us protection. But often, we don't read the manual. The manual that comes, as I often say, there's a manual that comes. Whenever I'm distributing Gita, they said, what is this? I say, it's the manual that comes along with this body. It's the manual. Everything has a manual, a watch, a phone, a laptop. Does anyone ever read the manual? When you get the phone, do you read the manual? Nobody reads the manual. You know, and we fiddle around with the buttons. Try and figure it out. Any gadget. People, 90% of people try to play with it to figure them out. Nobody reads the manual. So, Krishna is reminding us that along with this body, the manual is coming. The Gita. And so, scrutinizingly reading, the Gita is a very important thing. I know Kishore Prabhu has a nice weekly session. Everyone sits and reads together. So reading is a very important part, and distributing the Gita is a very important part. Yes, Vishwanath Prabhu. Distributing the Gita is a very important part. If you go to any service station, especially Toddington, you will meet him. Toddington? Toddington, you will meet him, along with Dhananjay and others. You will meet them distributing the Gita. You know, in Russia, if you look at the history of the Russian devotees, the only way you could read philosophy, because all the books were taken away, as you know. They weren't allowed. Philosophical books were not allowed. So, people who were philosophers, who wanted to read a book on philosophy, there was only one way to get that book. And that was to join the KGB. Did you all know that? That was the only way the early philosophers of Russia, they could read books of philosophy, by joining the KGB. And Bhaktivedanta Maharaj was telling this story. He said that was the only way you could read these books in philosophy. Why? Because the KGB, they would find out where secret groups were gathering. And they would bust these groups. Well, they would first pretend to join the group. And then they would say, we're the KGB. And then they would confiscate all of books on philosophy. And then they would take them back to their offices and read them. Because that was the only way to get a book on philosophy. So there was one KGB agent. He was doing the same, and once he broke into a Hare Krishna gathering. And when he broke in there, at the end of the gathering, he said to everyone, everyone wait, I'm the KGB agent. And he said, I want to know, where are your books? So they showed him the three books that they had. And he said, right, I am confiscating these books. So he took them away. And he read them. And he was shocked. So then, once again, he tried to find out where this gathering was going on from the KGB agent. And he said, now I'll bust them again. So he went there again. And he started hearing the philosophy. And they said, you're a KGB agent. He said, yes, I have just come to check what you're all doing still. Carry on. So they carried on giving the class. And he was listening. And then he said, are there any more books that you have? I want to see them. So they had some more books. So he took those away as well. And he read all of them. Then he came again. And the devotees were frustrated by now that the KGB agent had arrived again. And he sat through the class and they said, what are you going to do with us now? He said, I don't know. I want to join all of you now, I think. So he left the KGB and he joined the underground Hare Krishna movement equally at that time. It's a distribution of our books. Prabhupada would often say in the marathon, famous word that he used, double it. Isn't it? He would say double it. But we forget the next word he used. Remember the next word he would say? He would say double it. And we all think, okay, I'm going to double it for myself. You know, whatever. And Prabhupada would say double it for Krishna. For Krishna. We're doing it for Krishna. So it's very important that we remember that we're distributing these books to Krishna, to others. A very, very important principle that is there. In the purport, here there was some mention, quite a lot of mention of another personality, and I thought we'd look at him as well, Shivananda Sen. And Shivananda Sen was a very, very intimate servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And every year, before the rainy seasons would begin, the Chaturmasya, he would take all the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Bengal to Puri for the Rath Yatra, just so that all the devotees could go. And all the expenses for this journey were given by him. All the expenses for all the Vaishnavas in Bengal were given by Shivananda Sen. So this was his service. And Shivananda Sen, he speaks about the fact that wealth and opulence should be properly engaged in the service of Sri Hari and the Vaishnavas. So he gives that example. That when we have the wealth and the opulence, we should use it in the service of Krishna and the Vaishnavas. So he would pay for all their journey, all the tolls, all the prasadam, whatever was needed, the accommodation. He paid. And that took a month. It's a quite expensive journey. For a whole month, hundreds of Vaishnavas he would take care of. And he, as mentioned in the purport as well today, he had three sons, Chaitanya Das, Ram Das, and Kavi Karnapur. And he also had two nephews, Kavi Karnapur, Sri Balal Sen and Kanta Sen. They were also great devotees, great Vaishnavas. So, you know, this specific chapter is all about the great Vaishnavas that existed here. And Shivananda Sen, he used to reside at, as mentioned in the purport here, at Kumarahat. And his deities were mentioned as Gopal. And I believe presently no one knows of their whereabouts, these deities of Gaur Gopal. And in the purport, of course, we speak about Srinath Pandit and his deities, which are at the same temple. So Kavi Karnapur, who's the son of Shivananda Sen, of course, he mentions that Shivananda Sen, in Krishna Leela, he was the gopi by the name of Bira. And who was Bira? She was the messenger of Srimati Radharani. She was the messenger. Used to take message to different places. So Shivananda Sen was that gopi. And the month-long walk to Jagannath Puri from Bengal, Shivananda Sen was very expert because he knew all the routes in Orissa. And that's the reason he could take everyone on Rath Yatra. And all the ladies, when they would be preparing, Shivananda Sen's wife, of course, they would make all the meals for all the Vaishnavas, and equally they would be making many amazing items that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu loved. And they would be preserving all of those items. So they would last a whole month by the time they got to Puri. Amazing, amazing art of cooking, which is there. And wherever they arrived at night, they would have a festival. They would first obviously always begin by coming to see Sachimata, because she never went to see her son, so they would always go and console her. And then they would make their way down. One time, the pastime is there of Shivananda Sen, that whilst he was paying the toll collector, and it was taking a long time, the party went ahead. And he didn't arrive till late at night. And Lord Nityananda, who was there, along with the hundreds of devotees, because Shivananda Sen wasn't there, they were all hungry, and there was no accommodation. So Nityananda, he cursed Shivananda Sen. He said, "I curse you, and may all your sons die immediately for this great disservice." So of course Shivananda Sen was he arrived on the scene at that time. His wife was in pandemonium. "Our sons are all going to die. Nityananda has cursed us. What will we do?" So Shivananda Sen immediately organized the accommodation for everyone, the prasad for everyone, and then finally he served Lord Nityananda a wonderful feast. So Lord Nityananda, he forgave him at that stage. So that's also there in Shivananda Sen's pastimes, that when we're organizing things for the Vaishnavas, be careful. Don't space out. You know, it could be just, you know, the minibus for the Harinam between here and London. Whatever it is, something simple as that. This is a longer journey. It could be just a shorter journey. But the principle is the same here, which is being given here. Lord Shivananda Sen, he took the punishment that was given by Lord Nityananda, and he said to him that you have not awarded me punishment but great mercy. Within the three worlds, who else could do this to me? Because he was the wealthiest person of Bengal. So no one could chastise him. But Lord Nityananda, he was chastising him. He was chastising him. So that's interesting in that principle. So this way, Shivananda Sen, he obtained the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And you know, three things happen when we obtain the mercy of Lord Nityananda or any of the Panchatattva. The famous verse which is given, that when you get the mercy of the lotus feet of the Panchatattva, three things will happen. Mukta Kavita, Pangu Giri Lange, and Anda Deka Tare Gana. Three things that will happen. So the first one is called Mukta Kavita. That when you obtain the mercy of the Panchatattva, that a person who doesn't speak, a dumb person, they will begin to speak eloquent poetry. So it's very true, isn't it? Before joining the society, which one of us was ever speaking? I was never speaking. Well, I was speaking not good things, maybe. So Gramya Katha, maybe. But who was speaking really? So a dumb person will speak poetry. First aspect, Mukta Kavita. The second thing, Pangu Giri Lange, that a lame person, they will cross mountains. They will cross, it means a miracle. It's practically a miracle. From where we were in our life to where we are now in devotional circles, Saturday morning would we be sitting in Chaitanya Charitamrita class at 8 o'clock in the morning? Not possible. Miracle. Miracle of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have obtained the mercy of the Panchatattva. And finally, Anda Deka Tare Gana, which means that a blind man, he will see stars in the sky. He will see stars in the sky, which means miracle. So we have never perceived the soul before, but now we begin to realize, yes, we are not matter, we're spirit. This is a great miracle. So we have obtained the mercy of the Panchatattva. We get away from the bodily concept of life. I was speaking to a large group of people that had come from a nursing home. And you know, they were, someone was in a wheelchair, they're all called special needs. You can't call them any other names legally. Special needs. So, you know, someone obviously had Down syndrome, and, you know, someone was shouting something, and they were all, in one way or the other, in great, great material distress. And they were walking around the manor. And then I finally spoke to them. And they said, "We like coming here." And I said, "Do you come here regularly?" And they said, "We always come here." And I said, "Why do you always come here?" He said, "Well, apart from the fact that the place is very peaceful, we go to other places, but wherever we go, to garden centers, parks, all the other people will look at our group as if we're so abnormal. Some people will even laugh at us. But when we come here, we notice that all your devotees, not only are they very pleasant, but no one seems to think there's anything wrong with us." And I said, "The reason is because we believe we're not the body. And the devotees don't see the body. They see beyond the body." And they said, "Now it makes sense. Now it makes sense why here when we come no one is worried about our physical or mental condition. Because they see beyond it." Ande deka taregana. A blind man will see stars in the sky. This is when we realize we have the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shivananda Sen, which we just spoke about, he had five forms of wealth. Apart from the fact that he was the wealthiest person, he had five forms of wealth. The first was sama, which was that he would let go of material desires. The second wealth that he had was dhamma, that he, although he was the wealthiest person, he could have bought anything, he practiced restraint. He controlled his senses, could have done anything with his money. The third thing he had was, the third wealth that he had was uparati, which means that he was aware of the sense objects and he was always careful not to connect with them too much. The fourth wealth that he had is described as titikshava, that he accepted everything that came as Krishna's grace. That tolerance means you accept everything that comes as Krishna's grace. And finally, the fifth wealth that he had was called samadhan, which was a resolution. He was in great resolve that this was my path. Although he was the wealthiest person, he lived very, very simply. That was a resolve. It's interesting that Shivananda Sen and this pastime with Lord Nityananda was there, how he was dealing with him. And when the devotees, when they brought Alfred Ford, Ambarish, to meet Prabhupada, because wealthiest person in United States, Alfred Ford. So they were hoping that when Prabhupada met Alfred Ford, that Prabhupada would glorify Alfred Ford. Because the first time he's meeting Prabhupada. So Prabhupada has, you know, as the founder of Acharya, he always has his ways of dealing with everyone. So when he met, and I'm saying this story because I'm just thinking of Nityananda and how he dealt with Shivananda Sen. Nityananda was the renunciate, and Shivananda Sen was such a, he was one of the wealthiest persons in Bengal, and Nityananda was dealing with him very strongly. So when Alfred Ford first met Prabhupada, and the disciples were thinking some good words, now he will receive from Prabhupada. Do you know the first words Prabhupada spoke to him? Prabhupada said to him, "So, you are Ford's grandson? Where is he now?" First words he said to him, "Where is your grandfather? He's gone. Where is he now?" So Amrish says he always remembers these words. He remembers these words, Prabhupada's strong words. Where is he now? So, like Nityananda was dealing with Shivananda Sen, very, very similar. Prabhupada's way of dealing with individuals is there. Lord Chaitanya, he taught, and I think our time's running out here. Lord Chaitanya, he taught four qualities from four different disciples. We're going to have hundreds, I'm sure. But he taught humility through anyone. Think of anyone. There are hundreds. They're all right. There's no rights and wrongs in this. But specifically, I was thinking of Sanatana Goswami. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught four qualities. One of the qualities is humility. And specifically, he taught this through Sanatana Goswami. Because Sanatana Goswami was the Prime Minister of Bengal. Imagine if you're the Prime Minister of Bengal and you become a renunciate with nothing. How humble is that? He taught that through him. He was the most learned person. And when he went to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came with the straw in his mouth and he said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Apani hitare hitu kichu na jani," that although people think I'm a very learned person, because he spoke hundreds of languages fluently, he was the Prime Minister, but he said, "Actually, I am a fool because I don't know who I am." Although everyone else in Bengal, they think I'm the Prime Minister, they think I'm very learned, but actually, I'm a fool because I don't know who I am. It's this famous verse when he comes up to him. And he became a very intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, and he revived the temples of Vrindavan. That's the whole history. Yet he considered himself very fallen. If we remember the time when he had all these sores on his body, and he was walking along the beach because he wanted to avoid the main roads so he wouldn't touch anyone. And finally, when he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't want to embrace Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His humility was so great. So great. So, one of the items that is taught here, and of course he said to Mahaprabhu, "Because I'm in this state, I'm going to jump in front of the Rathyatra cart and leave my body in this way." Mahaprabhu, of course, he said, "This is not your body, it's my body. You cannot leave this world." And in embracing him, he was blessed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, at that time. And it said that three results come when you embrace Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nashti Kushtam, Rupa Pushtam, and Bhakti Tushtam. The first one is Nashti Kushtam, which means you become freed not only from the external disease that Sanatana Goswami had, but from the internal disease, which is far greater. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya, puja, labha, pratishtha. These are all greater diseases that you may have. Rupa pushtam. You not only become beautiful outside but inside. And finally, bhakti tushtam. You become very satisfied in your devotional service when Mahaprabhu embraces you. So humility is through Sanatana Goswami. Another one I thought was tolerance. Anyone think of any names? I think Haridas Thakur beats them all, doesn't he? of all the different examples that he gives. And because he was, of course, beaten in 24 marketplaces. But still he tolerated that. And not only did he tolerate it, but he said that he prayed for the deliverance for those moguls who were punishing him. So we may tolerate sometimes other Vaishnavas, but do we ever pray for their deliverance and not take offense? So Haridas Thakur, not only did he not take offense, but he prayed for their deliverance. Quite a tremendous level of being someone of that nature. Simplicity, another one. He taught simplicity through anyone? Many. I was thinking of Saurabh Damodar Goswami. If you look through, he's one of the persons who comes up in this list, and if you look him up further, he had no duplicity. It said that's why Saurabh Damodar was the secretary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he had no duplicity. And Mahaprabhu, except when he spoke, he had no duplicity, and he was extremely honest in all his dealings. And he would say what was on his mind to Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu had a very wonderful relationship with him. And finally, he teaches the fourth thing I thought of, humility, tolerance, simplicity, and finally, sense control. He teaches through Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy was none other than one of the gopis of Vrindavan, but still, he was teaching the young girls how to dance. This was his job, yet he was very detached and his senses were never affected. So sense control. So Mahaprabhu was not that we do that, but this is one principle that is there. Mahaprabhu teaches. The material energy, at one time or the other, it will always test us. We will always be tested by the material energy. The gravitational pull, it pulls everything down in this material world, compromising all our morals and our principles. Gravity pulls everything down, including our morals and our principles. But Krishna's law of gravity, which is here, the Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, what does it do? Those that are getting attracted, it helps us to become attracted to Krishna. It uplifts us and our consciousness. So although the gravitational pull is trying to pull us down in our thoughts, Krishna, the Krishna Katha that we hear in the morning, is trying to pull us up in one way or the other. Krishna consciousness is a moment-to-moment process where we have to make proper choices. Interesting. Krishna consciousness is a moment-to-moment process where we have to make proper choices all the way till we leave this world. In one ear, Krishna will speak. In another ear, Maya will speak. Moment-to-moment choices that we have to make. One side, Radha Gokulananda saying something. Another side, Sishupal is saying something. Moment to moment, we have to make that choice. It depends whom we choose to hear. And spiritual progress, it depends on the choices we make. As we faithfully and submissively we listen to the narrations of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, as we've done today, we can't help but be transformed. Even if we don't want to. Isn't it? When we hear class, we think that's too much, but we think maybe I should give it a try. Moment to moment basis, we have a choice. Some days we win, some days we lose. But if we keep hearing, every day we think, yes, yes, I'm getting there. Krishna consciousness takes a lifetime. This philosophy is so high, it will take us a lifetime to get there. And you know, we hear so much from the Vaishnavas who are the senior Vaishnavas who joined and did so much for Prabhupada's mission. A lot of them are leaving this world, and even right at the end, they're all coming back and saying, this is the highest thing, and we follow it. Even right to the end. So the Chaitanya Charitamrita is meant for transformation. Ultimately, this philosophy is meant for transformation. And if we hear it regularly, we will become transformed in one way or the other. Slowly but gradually we will get there. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna. Kishore Prabhu, anything from you? Vishwanath Prabhu, anything? I noticed all the guests are trying to get in, so I thought. Tomorrow, Rupa Vilas Prabhu continues in his verse, but we have breakfast now. Hare Krishna.